hot hammer in the morning. Hot hammer in the evening. All over this land. A hammer of danger.
Danger.
Hammer of warning.
Warning.
A hammer of the love between all of my brothers and my sisters. Oh, 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 oh. Sit all over this thing. I had a bell to ring, oh, I'd ring it in the morning, I'd ring it in the evening, all over this land.
Beautiful, silky, angelic voice of Aaron Neville with If I Had a Hammer. As you know, it's an anthem against racism and oppression everywhere. It was written and made famous by the late Pete Seeger, who co-wrote it with Lee Hayes in 1949. Hayes sang bass with the Weavers, and I especially remember Pete Seeger. Pete Seeger and Toshi Seeger were the first subscribers to the paper that I edited, The City Sun. And no matter where he went, no matter where he traveled to, he always made it a point to let us know where to deliver the paper. So I remember him very, very fondly. This is from Neville's 2003 album, Believe. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. It is Friday, July the 10th, 2015. And we are about to experience a full-fledged Free Your Mind Friday after a while of not being able to talk with each other. And still, the phones are being finalized, but we'll be able to take your calls at 646-490-5448. That's 646-490-5448. So much has happened since we were able to free our minds together. Lots of stories in the news and headlines have been all over the place, domestically and internationally. And I'm sure you have a thing or two to say, apart from the topics, of course, that we have covered here on Lead Stories. You may have an idea or an opinion that you'd like to share. And let's return to our wonderful forum in which we connect with each other and put out some views, get people to react to them. It isn't important whether people agree or disagree with what you say. It is important only that you make your case and let the chips fall where they may. Make your case. And, of course, we know we follow the unwritten rule, of course. We are always very polite and we are always very aware that we have to be careful not to insult anybody or denigrate or anything like that. But we engage just the same in very brave discussion, and it is the way we need to go. We are in pretty perilous times, and one of the themes I have been honing in on is the need to be frank and open and real about where we are as a nation and where we are as these fractured groups that are repeatedly pitted against each other, where we are also as groups, many groups, who identify themselves, I'm a member of such groups, as oppressed people in this country. And so that is the nature of our discussion. We know, of course, that our views are shaped by the prisms through which we see the world, and we can't deny that. So in that spirit, we engage in discussion on Lead Stories, the open forum, the best open forum on the planet, 646-490-5448. Well, from California, we have Harvey. Hello, Harvey. You're on the air.
Hello, wonderful Eutrice.
Hello, wonderful Harvey. How are you today?
Very good. I'm feeling great. And I hope you are too.
I certainly am. I do feel great.
You sound great.
Thank you.
I'd like to talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership.
Excellent. What do you have to say?
Well, you know, one of the main problems with it is that the fossil fuel industry is at the heart of the Trans-Pacific Partnership. And, you know, being the state of the world, it turns out that that in Thailand, the main city, Bangkok, is they say they only have a month of water left. And in Sao Paulo, Brazil, they're having a severe drought over there, too. And here in California. So, you know, the fossil fuel industry is really doesn't work for the planet at this time. And we have to get away from all the carbon producing fuels and other terrible products that they put out, because we do have the technology to move along. We're at the nanoscale now, and we can just plug directly into the sun, into the wind, into wave power. There's lots of ideas, storage of energy, flywheel storage, the new Tesla batteries. It's terrific what's happening, but we have to make this move fast. But the Trans-Pacific Partnership would slow that down, because it would really be in their favor there. They got their people writing. That's why it's so secretive. They don't want you to know what's happening. And I looked up the word dictatorship, and here's what I found a little. It says, in which the ruler is not restricted by a constitution, laws, or opposition. It's a form of government in which absolute power is concentrated in a dictator, a small clique, or organization. And the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as you know, there'll be a three-person corporate lawyer panel located somewhere on the planet that will have the ability to override our local environmental laws in the name of lost profit. And many of our flag-waving politicians have voted to install literally a dictatorship to replace our democratic system. So simply put, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, in my mind, is a corporate dictatorship.
Well, look for more coming up on Thursday with Gerald Horn. We're looking at a number of international trade agreements, including the Trans-Pacific Partnership. But thank you for your call today, Harvey, and for getting us started in fine fashion. Thank you so much. From Richmond, Juan, you're on the air.
Yes, hello?
Hello, you're on the air,
yes,
Juan.
Yes, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you.
Yes, I thank God for the opportunity to speak to you. I respect you a great deal, and I'm calling from Richmond, Virginia. My name is Juan.
Yes, thank you so much for your call today. Is this your first time calling?
Yes.
Well, welcome.
Yeah, okay, thank you. I am a construction worker, and I work within the low-income communities of African-American communities out here in Richmond, Virginia. And I have lived both here and also in New York City. And this past January, the Daily News reported on a mother of 12 children who were homeless at the time. And it was heartbreaking to see children's faces and the mother and everything else. So that is just one family of possibly thousands or hundreds of thousands of families that are going through the same situation. And I speak to the construction workers here in Richmond, and many of us are waiting to become part of a life-giving movement so that we can begin to rescue our precious women and children from the traumatizing condition of homelessness. And there are a lot of houses here in Richmond that we can get very cheaply, and we have all the skilled construction workers to put this house together. Now, I have one, I'm in control of a house that has 5 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms, a lot that can be built on, and I'm willing to incur the initial cost of contacting a family such as the one lady with 12 children and a single mother, so that we can move her into this house and make that house a model to be duplicated. We in the black and brown community have been trampled for centuries, and we're not responding. It is time to for the intellectual community to bring us the blue-collar workers so we can complement each other. And I'm willing to devote the rest of my life for this cause, because the children and the women and the young people are suffering, and they're waiting for us to show them how much we love them, how much we care for them. It is heartbreaking.
Well, Juan, let me ask you. This you are proposing to build housing, or to make housing available to people who have no homes. And you are putting together a group, as I understand from the way you explained it, a group of like-minded people who know a thing or two about construction and so forth, to get these homes and properties up to par so that they are habitable. And where did you get this idea?
Well, some people have a calling for the ministry. God placed his calling on me many, many years ago. And I continue to speak to us, because it is my responsibility to reach out to us. I hear that you love good music. And in the early 70s, I used to work with jazz musicians. And I still have connections with important jazz musicians. And my brothers run a very important musician in the Latin jazz and jazz field in New York City. He has a recording studio. So we have all the necessary ingredients to begin to heal and to begin to establish healthy communities. And they have houses here in Richmond that are boarded up. And we have all the skilled laborers, mechanics, licensed heating and cooling mechanics, electricians, plumbers, roofers, siding mechanics. We have everything we need among each other. So I just spoke to my brother to see if he would help me contact the artistic community. And he is willing to do that. We can raise the money that is needed to do something, because we need to respond.
I think this is a fantastic idea, Juan, that you have. And not only that, the idea that you have, but the conviction of service to the community is extremely impressive. Is there a way you can send me some information, email at leadstories@gmail.com?
As a matter of fact, I sent it yesterday.
Oh, okay. I haven't been able to go yet to my email. So is there a contact number there?
Yes, I have. I'm still not into the media, social media, but I have friends that are. And this is extremely important, that we have very important musicians in New York City, in the Caribbean, Latin jazz, and jazz fields that are waiting to become part of a life-giving movement. We need to begin the process of healing. And I'm willing to devote the rest of my life for this. I don't have a criminal record. I have good credit, a Korean driver's license. I have a truck and tools and everything else. So everything is waiting for us. I'd like to share this with you before I leave. I listened to a young lady about 3 years ago from D.C. She was about 13, 14 years old at the time. there was a gathering of adults, and she went up to the mic. I need you to share this. She needs to be honored, her courage. She went up to the mic and asked very important question. She asked, where are the adults? What do the adults? What do the adults allow outsiders to come and take over all the local businesses? She asked. And so she also asked, where are the adults? Why do you allow outsiders to come and drive us out of our traditional neighborhoods? Now, this is a child that is asking the question, and if she's asking the question, that means she is one of many that have the same emotions, but she was brave enough to go up to the mic and ask those questions. And by the grace of God, I was watching a program, and I listened to her, and I'd like to honor her and share this with you, because you have an immensely love for our people. I'm also from the Caribbean, and there is so much trembling that we take with our response, and it is time for us to simply begin to. So please contact me. I have this house that is empty, that is habitable, and we'd like to turn that house into a model for a homeless family. We have all the, I have spoken to many other people. I also spoke to a Native American chief here from Eastern Virginia, and he's willing to join the movement. So please contact me. I'm ready to begin to do this today. I was ready 15 years ago. So,
Well, you have, as I say, you have made this thing a very important project in your life, and I'm sure.
Right.
With your determination, it will come to fruition. And thank you so much, Juan, for calling. I will look at my emails and get in touch with you. Thank you so much
also,
for sharing that.
I would also, if you don't mind, I would like to give my name and number if anybody would like to contact me.
Well, let's
possible?
Hold off a little on that, because one of the things that we have to be careful about is that, you know, we want to move in a particular direction. When these ideas are coming up, let's talk first and see where things are, and I'd be happy to, you know, help you with the project. But let's talk first, if it's okay. Okay? Oh, he's gone. The number is 646-490-5448. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. What's happening in your world? That was a really great call. And what it said was a person making a commitment, and we've talked here about who's to do the work of reconstruction, reclaiming, and revitalizing our communities. And here's an example of a person who says, look, I've got all the skills that are needed for the moment to get this project done, and other people, if they join with me, we can put our minds and hearts together and get something done. And it's a start. It's a wonderful start. But what does it say? It says, one, recognition of a problem. Two, the recognition also that the resources are there to tackle the problem and to start helping to solve the problem. And number three, it talks about what you can do. This project that Juan has described for us is how revolutions happen. It's not the big thing. It is the small thing. That's if you do bite off a piece of the problem and deal with it, see it from point A to point Z, you would have done a remarkable thing. You would have waged a revolution. And that's what revolution looks like. It looks like that. People deciding in their own little corner of the world or in their own sphere of influence, wherever it is that they can create beneficial change, that they just go ahead and do it. Irrespective of all of the obstacles that people tell you, well, you know, it's going to be hard because this, it's going to be hard because that. If you have the determination, and we heard it in his voice, if you have that determination and you set about the task of getting the project done, it's the revolution. That's the best revolution there is. 646 4905448. What's the revolution happening in your neck of the woods? What are you doing? Let's hear about that. And all of the news that we didn't get to tackle from an analytical point of view, maybe you have some ideas that you would help us understand more fully, or maybe from a different perspective, what's going on, the news that affects us all. 646-490-5448. It is the temporary number. We will go back to our regular number shortly, as soon as the phones are ready. But this is a number that we use now to communicate and connect with each other on Free Your Mind Friday, right here on Lead Stories. 646-490-5448. I was wondering, what was your take on this Donald Trump debacle? What did you think about it? And as he continues to dominate the headlines, and rather compliant press. I mean, they seem to be fascinated by Donald Trump, and they're making themselves available to him, literally as an offshoot, a direct offshoot as of his campaign. He doesn't even have to pay for their services. He's getting it for free, all this attention, but not necessarily focusing on the underside of what it is he's presenting. And I find that very, very interesting that they're covering the news in the way it's sensational news, but we're not getting analytical news about what Donald Trump's latest foray into the public arena is supposed to be meaning to all of us. We're not getting that at all. We're getting, you know, just him yammering, taking over the interviews, just, you know, treating the interviewers like they're children, and they go along with the program. It's a fascinating thing to see. All right, so we'll take a little break and come back to your thoughts right after this. And the number again is 646-490-5448. We'll be back right after this short break.
I had a song to sing. Oh, but sing it in the morning. Sing it in the evening. All over this land again.
You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead, and your calls and your analysis of the issues of the day at 646-490-5448. 646-490-5448. It is our first full-fledged Free Your Mind Friday in a while, and we are getting to the point of absolutely finalizing our phone connections at PRN, having relocated to brand spanking new offices. I haven't seen them, but I hope to make a trip up to see them. I'm told they're beautiful, and it allows PRN to do so much more. And therefore, I want to make a pitch right here. And the pitch is to help the station grow, to help this program and all other programs grow. And there is a reason for this. I've been in media since 1973. And in that time, in the time that has elapsed until now, I can tell you that the avenues for information that is really meaningful and necessary so that people could make sense of their lives, those avenues have been drying up, systematically drying up, for all kinds of reasons, but they are drying up. And so the information that you need to make sense of your world is becoming more and more scarce because the avenues simply are not there. They don't exist. And so you have to be very appreciative of the fact when you have the wherewithal to connect, and connect not just to this medium, but connect to others through this medium, it's a valuable asset. So I ask you, in your own spheres of influence, the people you know, pass the word on about PRN.FM. And certainly, I'm hoping to continue to push this program, Lead Stories. I love it because I get to connect and I get an education from this program, connecting with you. I'm asking that you do something that is part of the work of our community, which is to help to build those community institutions that are functioning in your best interest. You support those things. So I ask you to support PRN by spreading the word, by getting people to know that we are here, and also to for this particular program, Lead Stories, to tell people about it, that this is a necessary reference point for you every day. From Brooklyn, Clarence, you're on the air. Clarence, you're on the air.
Yes,
you're on the air.
How are you?
Fine, thank you.
Good, good. I have two things on my mind. The first thing is that this mayor has to prove that he's serious about the fact that this governor, along with previous
governors... Who is this mayor and this governor?
The mayor is Mayor de Blasio, sorry. And the governor is Mayor Andrew Cuomo. Mayor de Blasio is the mayor of New York City, and Governor Cuomo is the governor of New York State. For some time, New York City lost its sovereignty, and that was under the former mayor, Abe Beame, I believe, that the city was going under and couldn't get any help from the federal government under Gerald Ford, who told the city to drop dead. So it was left up to the state came across and said, I'll make you our girlfriend, and we'll take care of you, right? And the city said, okay. City didn't know that the city would end up being the prostitute and the state would become the pimp.
Whoa.
Clarence. So all this time.
Out of there, please.
I'm sorry?
The analogy is a little worrisome about
prostitutes. Well, I'm saying that the idea that the city has never reaped the benefits from putting out all the money of all the cities in the state of New York. This city is putting up monies that is not seeing anything in return. The mayor has to beg for vital essential services that he wants to improve the way he can help education, the housing, you name it, even with transportation. The MTA, which is the umbrella for running the transit system, couldn't get a dime, and MTA is a state agency. They couldn't get a dime for their budget. And they have signal problems alone. Every day there's a signal problem because the signals are so ancient. It's like they got to be done manually to get them to regulate for the just around the rush hour time. The signal system is falling apart. Not to mention the old subway car that goes back to the days of Ed Koch, 40 years or more. Second thing I'm concerned about, here it is deja vu all over again, where the governor appoints, Governor Cuomo appoints a special prosecutor in dealing with police crime. You had this governor, Andrew Cuomo of New York, gave the Attorney General of the New York State,
his name, Schneiderman.
Schneiderman. He's going to be the special prosecutor. Didn't we go through that with the former Attorney General Robert Abrams when Governor Mario Cuomo, the father of Andrew Cuomo, appointed Robert Abrams to deal with the Tawana Brawley case? And didn't Robert Abrams make Tawana Brawley look like she was the criminal, besmirched her character when she was a young girl? And to this day, this young woman, who's a grown woman now, the child, young child, she cannot find a job anywhere where she's living at, and that the state of New York has made matters worse by allowing her rapist to get monies from her paycheck when she was still working. Like, she's paying her rapist. And I'm saying is that
her alleged rapist.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's do this. Let's tackle the two things that you've put on the table here. The first being the governor's relationship with the mayor, Governor Andrew Cuomo, and Mayor Bill de Blasio, and the tensions that have developed over the fact that it seems as if the governor is stymieing the mayor's request for funds, and he's holding money in order. What is the motive? Do you see it just as a legal technicality that this is the way things were running, and therefore it is just a matter that it is a continuation of the days in which New York City had to pretty much default and rely on a bailout, and therefore the conditions were imposed back then and continue now? Is it personal? Is it political? What is it?
It's a part of both. But you have the governor who can probably take medication to keep from rapping so hard, and a mayor who is denouncing the way the city is being treated. But the mayor is just selling wolf tickets, but he has nothing to back up his bite. He's just barking but not biting. And I'm saying that if he had the moral fortitude, he would come before New Yorkers and say, listen, New Yorkers, haven't we had enough yet of being pimped off of that we would like to now demand, and we will get back our sovereignty, where we would control our own destiny as it was before we ran into the problem when you had a comptroller writing out checks and the money wasn't there, rendering...
But here's the thing, Clarence. The governor is a Democrat. The mayor is a Democrat. You have all of the legislators representing New York City overwhelmingly Democrat. So this is a Democratic Party problem. Who is pulling the levers here and saying, listen, we can't have this, especially those communities that are inordinately impacted by this pull and tug between Cuomo and de Blasio? This is the Democratic Party in action.
Well, you have a mayor, Mayor de Blasio, who has not the ability to say, look, don't call me, like Malcolm X said, don't call me a diner where I don't have anything on my plate except the chinaware and the silverware, but there's nothing on my plate. He has to point out to this governor, we're tired from being sick and tired, a phrase taken from Van Luhamer, that we
That has nothing to do, this, you know, it is so clear. Everybody's sick and tired. The point I'm saying is you have a Democratic governor, you have a Democratic mayor, and you have a vast number of New York City representatives in the Senate and in the Assembly. In the City Council, it is overwhelmingly Democratic. So this is a Democratic Party problem. Who is pulling the levers to punish the party? People should interpret this as a party problem. This is not just Bill de Blasio and Andrew Cuomo. This is the Democratic Party inflicting unnecessary suffering upon the people. What is the response within the context of the Democratic Party?
Well, you're not going to get any response from the selected officials that are in City Hall or in Albany. They're not going to do anything to upset their monies for their reelection and for their political promotion. So there's a problem right there. The people who should know better, they're not about to upset the apple cart. So we got a no-win situation.
Well, there is a win situation because, again, the two issues that you raised today are connected, and it's the Democratic Party. Here's Andrew Cuomo, again, appointing a so-called special prosecutor, Schneiderman, Democrat, both Democrats, And Schneiderman's job is now to basically handle all cases involving police brutality and police killings. However, the governor has already put a limit on that, saying that it's for 1 year, as he did with Bill de Blasio. I am going to approve this arrangement. This arrangement here is 1 year, including with the budget. You will deal with this. And if I think you've handled things properly, I will now extend it for another year. This is bizarre. This is bizarre behavior. And the response should be people should walk the heck out of the party. Punish the party. No deal with the governors doing this. And the party has failed the people. The people
should punish the party.
Just punish the party. This is the thing. People talk about, well, you know, this is what's going on and we are helpless to do it. You're not helpless to do it. You drive the party out of business. You punish the party. That's what you do. But people are not serious about it.
Hey, you know, we can talk a good game, but the idea is that what is the solution and how are we going to put the fire to from the mayor on down to shake up Albany and say, hey, we have all these millions of votes and we can formulate our own political movement to get this thing eradicated. The governor is a joker. He's a real joke. He's not a liberal. He's too much of a gangster to deal with anything with moral fortitude. He does. He's like a cat playing with the mouse. They toss the mouse in the air before he finally take the mouse down. But what I'm saying is that you got a mayor who's just as weak, conniving. He had two open letters sent to him by Attorney Automatics. The second letter that was sent was never even open. He sent the letter back to Attorney Maddox showing his racist insults and insolence and disrespect. But now he's got a problem with this commissioner, the police commissioner, Bratton. You've got the problem with the fact that the housing stock is not getting any better. In Brooklyn alone, is being condoized to death. The politicians upstate from Albany, they represent upstate, they're being paid by the developers to see it their way to get these ugly godforsaken condos built all over Brooklyn. Bed-Stuy is done. It has become the back door to Manhattan. You've got all these corrupt politicians that are only looking for their re-election campaign funds and political promotions and could care less about their constituents are being forced to move out of New York City.
But, Clarence, nothing you're saying is new. The problem that we have is that people continue to tolerate it. Not only that, they participate in their own oppression. The Democratic Party has been foul to people of color and working people in the city of New York for decades. And what do they do? The ones who are most put upon by this party are the ones who continue to re-elect Democrats over and over and over again. In the case of Andrew Cuomo, we have a repeat. Mario Cuomo was one of the, I have said it publicly many times, Mario Cuomo was one of the most lethal governors to the interests of African Americans and Latinos in the city of New York. And yet, that's who they keep, you know, putting in office. His son is the same thing. So the problem here is people after a while should shut up. If they're not inclined to just move this party out, just get this party, just serve one significant blow to this party in organized fashion, saying we will not tolerate this because we are caught between the Republicans and the Democrats, and both agree that they could do us in. So this cycle, unless people are courageous enough to break it, this is what's going to continue to happen over and over again. Thanks, Clarence, for your call today.
Bless your heart.
Thank you so much. From New York, Allie, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hello, Allie. How are you?
How are you doing, you trees?
Fine, thank you. How are you?
I'm doing well, but I just have to say this to you first. You always say that you are so blessed to be in our company, but I will have to say that we are blessed to listen to you, to your voice. Every day we are blessed.
Thank you so much. I feel very blessed to be connected to this audience. I really do.
Yeah,
and it's a source of motivation for me every day.
Yeah.
So what are you contributing today?
Well, being right now a New Yorker, I would like to go back to some of the things that the gentleman who just called and
Clarence.
Put some sense to that, but I don't have the time because I wanted to say something. Two things. One is about Puerto Rico, and the other one is about this man, Jim Webb, who is running on the Democratic side. The first thing that I will have to say about him is that you stated that he said on one of his speeches that you can't really blame, I guess, the South because only of the white Southerners, because only 5% of the white population enslaved. So what he's trying to tell us is not to go out there and fight against the system. And the system is controlled by the 1% of the population in this country, 1% of the world. And look what they're putting us through. So who should we blame? Just because they only one less than 1% own the wealth of the world, we should not go out and protest and blame them? That is one thing that I will have to say. Look what happened in Greece. Look what's happening now, what's happening in Puerto Rico. But I do have to say this about Puerto Rico. One of the things that this government and a lot of government around the world is that when they're going to do something to you, they work for years before they put through people through situation. If they're going to invade you, they take years planning to destroy you. So in the case of Puerto Rico, one of the things that the gentleman that you have, Abayomi, excuse me, that you had
yes.
the other day.
Abayomi, yes.
excuse me. He didn't explain about what happened to Vieques and what this government.
That was the opening discussion. We are going to be dealing with this in greater detail. But
okay.
I wanted really, the first thing I wanted to do was to connect Detroit and Puerto Rico. It's the same scenario, and that was the purpose of the program. But we will be taking a very, very detailed look at Puerto Rico and why we need to understand this, because it's
yes.
very, very deep what's going on.
Yes, because the connection is the people protesting to get this military out of Puerto Rico, especially Vieques, and how the United States also tried to take away tourism from the island after building this island on tourism. And if you notice and you take a site of people taking vacation, Puerto Rico is not near anywhere. The Dominican Republic,
mm-hmm.
Mexico, those are the places that they're being promoted right
mm-hmm.
now. And
mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico is on the end of the line now. So this is the kind of things that they knew what they would do to the island of Puerto Rico. They knew all along that eventually they would take them down. And I really feel really, really, really sad because I'm not from Puerto Rico, but I moved into the island when I was 8 years old. So I know the island very well. I went to elementary school and I went to middle school. So I know the island very well. And it's very, very sad the way that they're going to take the whole island and they're bringing it down to their knees. And I feel very sorry. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call today. Thank you so much. From Texas, Whitebread, you are on the air.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Whitebread, and I just wanted to communicate, if I can, an article I came across the other day entitled Four Dynamic Steps to Begin a Better World. It's a pretty good strategy, I think. It takes about 5 minutes. Would you care to hear it?
Well, if you can give us the essence of it.
I wouldn't want to do it an injustice, but I can read it really fast.
All right, let's go. Let's give it a shot.
Okay. Okay, Steph, you can interrupt me at any time if you like, and if you care, I can send it on to you to give me some communication information. Step one, educate, a massive educational outreach to those in uniform, the mercenaries. Perhaps the most difficult step due to the historically successful profiling and screening to filter out applicants who may be capable of comprehending the big picture. Should any of those more enlightened slip through the filtering, they are quickly guided to the top ranks once they are assured these outliers are sold out to the corporate agenda. Don't count on the morals or courage of uniformed generals or admirals. They're quite comfortable ruling their kingdoms of armies, ships,
but I want to ask you, what is the thrust of the article that you're reading? What is the purpose of the article?
To actually begin a better world, to change things from the way they are, with a ruling plutocracy, oligarch across the globe.
But it sounds like you're reading a kind of primer for a military manual.
Well, there are four steps, and they're strategic in nature. And that's how I think you have to look at it. They're not.
How about sending it to me?
Okay.
And
that's fine.
It will give me a better idea. And then you can expand on it once, you know, I take a look. Because we're running a little low on time. We have a lot of people who want to still talk. And it would help.
Not a problem.
I would also, you know, post it on the Facebook page.
That would be great. It takes a little time to digest it. But once I think you sit and chew on each one of these steps, because they're fairly, I know you referred to it as a primer, but I think when you, and maybe you can boil it down to that, because it really does seem basic, but difficult to implement. And it's a long-term, multiple-step strategy that takes courage from the masses. But I think ultimately, when you read it and you digest it, I think you can look at it and say, you know, that's really something we should start to do collectively as a global community.
Okay.
So if you'll give me an email where to send this, I'll
right.
I'll
it's leadstories, one word, at gmail.com.
L-E-I-D?
Right. Stories, plural, at gmail.com.
I'll send it on. I thank you. And I'm glad you're feeling better.
Thank you so much. Thank you very much for your call today. From Rosedale, Jose, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Good afternoon, my professor. You know, whenever I get a chance to listen to you and to talk with you, the elder feel blessed.
Oh, my goodness. Thank you so much.
And I honestly mean it.
Thank
now,
you.
Just real quickly, I am concerned about the situation in the Dominican Republic. I don't know if you have touched on it as yet.
Oh, yes.
But you have?
Yes. Did,
I'm sorry, I missed it.
But did a you couple know, of programs about it, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, what is happening there, it is evil and ungodly. And I am so concerned that everywhere we go, as an African people, we are catching hell. We are even catching hell by African people, because
could you give us an idea of what is the situation, so that people can appreciate where you're going with your discussion?
Well, the understanding I have is that folks, the people who were born in the Dominican Republic of Haitian roots are being expelled from the Dominican Republic and forced to cross the Dominican-Haitian border. And the folks have been living there. They have the courts, I think the high court, I'm not talking about a court of high moral values, just that it's a court of last resort in the Dominican Republic. As passed a ruling that goes back to, I think, is it 1920 something?
29, yes.
Yes, and they are folks that are there from then. They are trying to get them out of the country, and it's all based upon race. And it is sad to see that many of the Dominicans that have been to many of the rallies and forums and so forth. And many of the Dominicans that are for this kind of situation, many of them look you could see the blood of Africa coursing right through their veins. And that is why I said a moment ago, wherever we are as a people, we are catching hell, not only from other race, but we are also catching from our own people who are in denial. And I personally believe that there should be a boycott of the Dominican Republic, all things Dominican. Because there are folks who say that there are some folks that are not for what is happening to the Dominicans of Haitian background. But just like here in this country, when slavery was in full force, they said there were good white folks here that didn't go along with slavery. But if the majority of the so-called good white people didn't support slavery, the enslavement of African people, it would have lasted as long as it did. And so I believe that the only way to apply pressure to these people to make them change their evil ways is that we, as conscious folks, we should find every way possible to make them pay for the things that they're doing. And so I, in my humble way, I'm boycotting everything Dominican, and I'm encouraging all of my friends and family and folks that I know to not visit the Dominican Republic and spend a dime in anything Dominican, because if people believe that they can just kick us around and do whatever they want to do with us, and all we're going to do is forgive them and pray with them and all that kind of stuff, then we will continue to get the same thing that we've been getting for centuries. It is about time that we stop allowing people to trample all over us, and we just turn around and take an apology and say we forgive them, and because that's what God would like us to do. I am sick and tired of this forgiveness business. We seem to be in this forgiveness business forever, and folks don't respect us because we don't respect ourselves. We have to stop being a footstool for everybody to trample all over us. And that is why we are getting what we are getting. When we decide as a people to stand up and say enough is enough, and we will, they are going to pay a price for whatever they do to us. I think that's the time we are going to see some real changes. I look at this big thing about this flag, and I know, yes, this is a flag that represents evil, but I know, I believe more atrocities was committed against black folks and folks of color, not only in this country but throughout the world, under this flag that we are waving, the American flag. So I am not too up in our, you know, it's like six of one practical and half a dozen of the other. Yes, the flag is a flag of evil, and it should have been done away with a long time ago. But we are not even addressing the atrocities that's being committed under this flag that we have right here. And so this is my problem. I just don't like where we are as a people, and we have to get out of this forgiveness business and stop settling for symbols. These symbolic stuff, I look at this statue that is sitting right here in South Carolina. They're talking about the flag, but this statue with this racist man is sitting up there looking over everyone, and they're talking about the flag. This statue is going to be there probably forever. They have no problem with that, but they have a problem with the flag. So,
well, it's
my
interesting,
professor,
too,
I don't know if you have any
Governor,
comments on it, but
Nikki Haley, who has ordered the flag removed, mm-hmm. I played a tape of her just last year saying that was not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
She was dealing with the business people and
yes.
the corporate sector, and they didn't see a problem with it, and therefore she didn't have a problem with it. I played the tape right here to show you how malleable these political leaders are. They go wherever the wind is blowing, you know,
yes.
in that direction. Well, I want to thank you so much, Jose, for your call today. And I want to thank everyone else who called today and participated. We are back. Please get to your folks in your circles and let them know that we are back in good shape and we are proceeding forward.
Thank you, my professor. Really do.
Thank you so much for your help in doing that. We need to get PRN We need to have people come in to the fold and appreciate the fact that there is information available that they would probably not get anyplace else. And certainly for this program, this is my personal point of connection every day, and it keeps me going because the education you get from people who just freely share it. And this is how we build communities, and this is how we build alternative movements and action, by sharing ideas and bravely doing so and respecting the integrity of what people are saying, because they are coming from a genuine point of view, and I really appreciate it. Coming up next, the Lifeboat Hour with Carolyn Baker. You can reach me at leadstories@gmail.com. And I want to thank you as always for the pleasure and the great privilege of your company every single day, Monday through Friday. Have yourselves a restful weekend. Connect with people who bring good vibes and good dimension to your life. And we'll see each other again on Monday. Bye-bye.